18 years young, sitting on the right-hand side, the Holy Ghost power of God stripped my heart, showed me I was lost on my way to a devil's hell, and drew me to an altar of repentance. I got gloriously saved 18 years young. I'm 75. Still saved. He said a couple of three times, you know, different message, different way. Didn't hurt my feelings at all. But man, when it happened to me, there was a change. I'm talking about from left to right, from forward to backward. I'm talking about a change that's made in my heart and in my soul. Everybody's different. Everybody different. Only one way in. Jesus. We agree with that. Amen. He does too. But he said, I'm going to make a few of you preachers mad. On preaching on the time, whatever. It didn't make me mad, not at all. Didn't rock my salvation, none whatsoever. Because I remember, and I was there when it happened. And that's been many years ago. I am so glad that I'm saved on my way to heaven. Please pray for a Duncan family. Got a call this morning, the wife of weeping and a crying, and her husband Saturday morning are sitting on the couch side by side. Massive heart attack, I reckon, and he went out into glory. But he didn't want no funeral, no sadnesses, no nothing. Wanted to be cremated. Then he wanted to have a social gathering. He didn't want to have no funeral, no preaching, or no nothing. And I visited him a lot. Before I sold out to the Lord, I was in sin. You mean you was in sin saved? Absolutely. Absolutely. It can't happen. It did happen. I'll just tell you. Took the only brother, took the only sister, and took my father before he drawed me back on an old-fashioned altar to my knees. And I went as far as to ask him, Father, if I'm not saved, please save my soul. He said, don't you remember what happened to you, Highland Baptist Church on Baby Row? Glory to God. Throw them big old loving arms out there. Said, welcome home, son. Welcome home. Amen. So you can wither. You can fall short. You can backslide. It's in the book. You can backslide. The best way in the world to keep from backsliding is stay in this book daily. Daily. Stay on them knees daily. Think on things good, pure things. This world's in a terrible shape. And there's a battle going on every day in a born-again saint of God. Because the devil can't do a thing in the world besides put that light out. That's what he wants to do. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to shine for him. The only thing that devil can do is put that light out. Tickles him to death when one backslides, when falls out of the will of God. Tickles him to death, but it hurts a lot of people, a lot of things. Well, thank you for letting me come. Hallelujah. Josh, wife, Davina, I taught her Sunday school. Her father was her pastor for years. And I was down the Sunday school class trying to teach. I gave up my Sunday school class, and he called me to preach. And, oh, Lord, what a mess, I'm telling you. Of course, I was 60 years young when he called me to preach. They said Abraham was 80 or 90 when God called him out. But pray for me, these young preachers. Neig McNeese, boy, he's one of my heroes. Y'all had James Langston, an older. Oh, he's one of my heroes. All preachers. Any man of preaching the word of God is my heroes. I don't have any other kinds of heroes besides the God's called preachers. Very, very familiar passage of reading. I know you've heard the story many times, but it blesses my heart and blesses my soul each and every time I read the story. The lady at the well, the Samaritan at the well. We'll be in St. John chapter number 4. I'll do quite a bit of reading and being led of the Lord how he sees fit for me to. The Samaritan that was at the well, come to the well and got her bucket full. Well, bless Pat, she didn't get her bucket full. She left her pitcher there and went back. She must have got something full. Well, let's pray first, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, again we come to the throne of grace, Father, praising your holy name, thanking you, Lord Jesus, for going to that cross of Calvary, bleeding and dying for an oh whosoever. I am a whosoever, Father, if it's taking anything special. Oh, Brother Pete, you missed it. But, Father, thank you so much for saving me. Thank you for going to that old rugged cross and bleeding and dying for whosoever. I'm so glad that I'm saved. Bless this church. Bless the pastor and his wife. Bless them. Heal her. Give her a fast recovery, Lord Jesus. Bless this church as a whole. How wonderful it is you meet with us. A revival service every night is wonderful. You got one in. Our Heavenly Father saved one. That wasn't the last one because I'm still here. Father, we do thank you. Continue blessing all hearts and souls. And use me, Lord. You know I can do nothing without you. In Jesus' wonderful name we ask and pray, and amen. Amen. The Bible says in St. John chapter number 4, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judah and departed again to Galilee, and he must need to go through Samaria. Then came he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman, a Samaritan, to draw water. Wonder why she come in the late evening. Well, we'll read on and talk about it. She might have known that them Pharisees and them hypocrites would be talking about her. She might have felt a little out of place. Supposedly lost, not knowing the true love of God or nothing about it, but she might have been kind of bashful, kind of backward, or ashamed maybe. Bible don't say that, but there's a reason for her to come in that evening time, and we'll go on to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. It shocked her and it surprised her. He looked like a Jew. His facial and his white body, he looked like a Jew. I don't know too much about Jews, but they are a little browner, a little darker color than old fire-faced American, redneck, to my understanding. But she recognized him as being a Jew. Something about him might have been his apparel, what he's dressed, maybe his sandals or whatnot. But anyhow, she knew that he spoke to her. What makes it any difference? We'll go on. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She didn't know him, didn't have any idea what living water was, hadn't been heard about it or whatnot. The woman said unto him, sirs, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From hence, then hast thou that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank therefore himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, he told her something that she had no idea in the world about. Me being lost at that time, she'd have told me the same thing. What in the world is this water you're talking about? You know, that won't have to drink no more, and it'll be a flowing out of us water, living water, out of us if we take a drink if from that well. It surprised her. We'll go on. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. Ask the question. Go, call your husband, and come hither. She asked for the drink of that water. He gave her a question. Go, tell your husband. Well, we have another little complication. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. Not only does he know our thoughts, the Bible says he knows the hairs on our heads. I'm telling you, he knows how to feed the sparrows of the sky. He knows all things. He knows our minds. A whole lot of times my mind ain't pure and holy. I can't help it because I'm in this flesh. One day, glory to God, hallelujah, when I leave out of here, I'll get me a sanctified body. I won't have no more of that foolishness. But as just as reading my Bible and praying and worshiping the Lord and going to church, I still got a battle between this flesh and me. Can't help it. Why? Well, it's flesh. Ain't going to be saved. What's been saved is my soul. Praise his holy name. Well, the woman has run into a question, a situation, and Jesus asked her to go call your husband. And then he answered to her that you have had five husbands. Now, this man know that. And the one that you live of shacking with now is not your husband. Did you know in 2017, shacking is no more said. It's a live-in. It's a live-in. It's a live-together. Sin, sin, S-I-N, 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 and getting worse. What he said back in those days and today is still the same as it was back then. Sin is still sin. But they come up with different words of making that sin sound better. Shacking up, not live in, live out, it's shacking up. Always has been 75 years I've been alive, and there ain't no changes. And I've heard of them living together 30, 32, 35 years and getting married and divorcing 5 days after making commitment one to another. But I'm going to tell you, when I took, this is my second wife, the Lord took my first and home after 45 years. I gave her my heart and my life. The responsibility as a man to take on a wife, have kids and a family, and work. Work. I was taught to work when I was a kid. Anymore they don't, they get a little check, you know, that little check. I'll get my check. Can't go to work. If I do, they'll stop my check. Praise the Lord for checks. But it's ruined a lot of people. A lot of people. Ruin them. Absolutely ruin them. And shacking is still shacking. Amen. Let's go on. Number 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in the mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and when ye shall in this mountain, nor yet in Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship, ye know not what ye worship. You worship, ye know not what we know, what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. If the Jews had accepted him, folks, we wouldn't have had a chance. Now, this is no surprise to God. Who's God? God is my Almighty. Amen. Little fella preached that, and boy, it's a blessing. Glory to God. He is my Almighty. He knows all things and does all things. And when he went and died on the cross of Calvary, buried, third appointed day, come out of there, went back sitting at the right hand of the Father, he said, I will send you a comforter. Yes. That's a whosoever had opened the door for you and I. If the Jews would have accepted him, we wouldn't have got in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But now that wasn't no surprise to my Holy Father. Wasn't no surprise. He knew that even back before Jesus was born, what had to be done. Well, let's go on. 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. When we come into this holy place, we need to come in here in worshiping, praising Him. Because He's made it possible. And the Bible speaks of holy places. This is one, folks. This is one. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Someone said, I don't guess I better go there. Big, fine preacher, one of the biggest ones in the world, out of Texas, didn't open his doors up for these people. Don't want to offend nobody. But he ain't no preacher. If you know who I'm talking about, he's not. He's a crowd gatherer, golden glitter. But that didn't help him one bit for Pete Daniels, for him to not let people come into that big cathedral church that needed him. Somebody put that on me, and I said, well, that God's chastening hand to get on him one of these days. Well, let's go on. Can't dwell on that. Dwell on these little churches where God's still meeting with us. I'd rather go to church with 20 as 2,000 and Him meeting with us. That's what's important, if He's a meeting with us. Why in the world is He still meeting with us? Because He loves us. He's always loved us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves us. He's in today. He loves us. These young ones is taking their lives. Oh, I wish somebody would tell them Jesus loves them. Oh, please, let me, if I know any of them, let me tell them that Jesus loves them, and I love them. Don't like their sinful way of living, some of them, but, oh, I love them, and God loves them. They don't need to commit suicide. We'll go on. Seeketh such to worship Him. It pleases Him for us to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in the spirit and in the truth. You can't worship Him if you're not in the spirit and in the truth. I mean, how you going to worship Him? Can't do it. The woman said unto Him, I know the Messiah come, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. What did He just tell her? Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am He. He told her He was the Messiah. She said, we know He's a coming. He said, I'm He. I am He. Well, that made some sense to her probably, where He told her all things. Upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talketh with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or what talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and said unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto Him. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought Him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. He knew the Father had sent Him. He knew God put Him in that little manger way back. Didn't have enough room for Him in the end. Gave Him a manger for Him to be birds and rabbits and everything got nest, homes, and all. Jesus had nowhere to lay His head. Never owned a fancy house, never drove a fancy automobile, nothing. I'm talking about our Christ. I'm talking about our Lord. I'm talking about the Almighty. Praise His holy name. He had to be, though. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me to finish His work. Say not ye, therefore, are ye 4 months, and when then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers the fruit to the life eternal. But both he and the sower and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is that saying true. One soweth and one reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestoweth. No labor, lawfully men labor, and ye are entered into their laborers. How many? Don't raise no hands. How many has witnessed to someone and then they get gloriously saved? Not necessarily on the spot, but witness to them in the sincerity of the Lord. Sow that seed. And down the road, it come up. They get gloriously saved. Now that is what he's talking about in sowing the seeds. Sow that seed is this blessed word of God. Somebody would come along and water it a little bit. The next thing you know, glory to God. But if you've prayed for that situation personally, in about every prayer that I pray, I say, Lord, please save that old sinner. Well, that's old sinner, whoever he's at, I'm a praying for him. But a little bit more stiffer than that. If I know Tim was lost, Tim told me verbally, I've never been saved. Now I've got a personal relationship to my father about this Tim. I want Tim saved. When I ask, not every time, and this head be so big, couldn't roll it out of here. But sometimes it'll happen. Well, when it happens, I rejoice. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And glad that I had a part of sowing that seed. Well, that's what we're supposed to do, folks. Really and truly, we're supposed to be a sower of the seed. And we'll go on. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his work, and said unto the woman, now we believeth, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They believed, they had to see and believe, but the woman showed a bunch of seed to come up. Now the seed had come up and they've met him and they've come up and they believe now. I'm going to jump over here to 35, verse number 35. Why didn't you put the chapter? Okay, 6. Chapter 6, please. Go over there. Let me throw a little bit out right here. Chapter number 6, verse number 35. I'll read 35 to 40. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now that woman got saved. When she went home, I'm thinking, the Bible don't say, she might have got married again or she might have run him off. Because when she met Jesus, there's a big change made in her. No more living in that sinful life like she'd been doing. Well, he's talking to others over here now and saying, the Father will truly give you bread from heaven and he'll give you water, which is thirst. Jumped up there, didn't I? But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. For I came down from heaven to do mine own will, not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last days. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeketh the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up in the last days. That's the same Jesus. That's the same one that saved the woman at the well. I believe she got saved. I believe she got saved. I believe she believed in him when she left the water pot to go tell him. She done forgot where she went for to get the water. But she got saved. Got that living water flowing out of her heart and her soul. You remember that day that it's happened to you all? Remember when you got saved? Boy, they was a zeal. Shameful to say. It's just as real as it ever was. But when I got saved, I told everybody, come and see this man help Jesus. Come and get saved. I just knowed everybody. Because what had changed in me, I was meaner than a skunk. And man, there's been a change. My mouth had changed. My ways. And I wanted everybody. I was at Highway Park roller skating rink back then. Boy, I was a ski daddy. Just do them wheels, something else. And out of the clear blue, buddy, God gloriously saved. I went back to the skating rink and told them all, come see this man called Jesus. Some did, some didn't. Well, that's not much, but it come out of the book. And the book says, my word come back void. I'll never be a James Langston. I'll never be nobody but Pete Daniels. Pray for me, please. I'm just tickled to death to get to proclaim the gospel. Amen. If you got King James Bible, you've got the truth.
That's right. Yes.
He's alive and well within your heart and your soul. We need to shout, glory to God, hallelujah. Because when he calls us out of here, I believe there's going to be some really shouting and some worshiping.
Yes, right.
And they say, why in the world didn't we do that earlier?
That's right.
It'd be just as good a blessing as it is here. I love every one of you, so sure appreciate you letting me come. Do remember us in your prayer. Remember my little baby, my darling. The Lord give me another wife, and she's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and on medication. Pray for her. I don't know what's down the line. The other wife come up with a multiple myeloma, cancer of the blood, killed her kidneys. She's on that dialysis for a solid year. Just give her 3 months to live. She lived a year and 28 days. But really and truly, folks, I took her to the dialysis 3 times a week. And I even asked my father, please let her come home. Dear saint of God, please let her come home. What do you mean, you prayed for her to die? No, I prayed for her to go home. Cure that old cancer and all them old dialysis. And the Lord's blessed me with another one. Now she's come down on me, or coming down on me. Let me, inspired me to carry the torch through it. I'm going to do it for this one too. Sure am. Pray for us. Please pray for us. That's all I have, brother. Thank you all so much. Remember us in your prayers, please. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, yeah.